Would you turn to Matthew chapter 20? When did you hear that Jesus was passing by? Did you cry out to him? Are you in need of mercy? Do you come this morning in need of mercy? Whether spiritually, physically, emotionally, or otherwise? Do you know your own pity? The man that Eric read about, the man that I read about earlier, the man that we're looking at here in Matthew chapter 20, was a man who knew his pity. He heard that Jesus was passing by, and he would not be silent. Son of David, have mercy on me. He knew that he stood in need of mercy. He stood in need of healing. He stood in need of forgiveness. He stood in need of salvation. Today, you may have been justified, but you still stand in need of sanctification. There's still junk in your life today that don't need to be there. Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse 29. As they departed from Jericho, a large crowd followed him. There two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." The crowd rebuked them that they should be silent. But they cried out even more, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." Jesus stood still and called them, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Lord, let our eyes be opened." So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately, their eyes received sight, and they followed. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we bow before you, needy, poor, pitiful, naked, blind. Lord, we stand before you, longing for mercy. Longing for you to withhold from us that which we deserve. Lord, it's easy for us to be impatient. We've been saved for many years and decades. Still dealing with stuff. We lose sight of what we're not dealing with anymore. Because we're only focused on what we're dealing with today. Lord, have mercy on us. Get today's junk out of our lives, out of our hearts, out of our minds. Give us sight. Make us today what you want us to be today. In Jesus' name we pray. what do we see here in this text? We see two men. The previous text just shared of one man, but Matthew shares of two men. These two men have a need. That need is they know that the God who passes by. They know that this man, Jesus, is no typical Nazarene. They know that this is no typical carpenter. They know that this is no typical rabbi. They've heard the accounts. They've heard of those who've been healed. They've heard of those who've been raised from the dead. They've heard of his teachings. They've heard of the miracles. They know that this man can do something for them. Jericho is behind. The crowd is moving. And two blind men are in need. Just sit still for a moment and picture it. Jericho is behind. The crowd is moving, and two men are in need. What have you left behind? How does it appear that everybody else is moving on? And what need is in your life? We see in this text God's providence. We see in this text the place of appointment. Jesus didn't just travel haphazardly. Jesus didn't just throw a coin in the air and say, okay, which direction am I going to go? Jesus had appointments. And he had an appointment with these men on this road, on this day, at this time. These men were powerless. They didn't have ADA requirements in the first century. They didn't have accommodations in the first century for blind men. They didn't have accommodations for anybody who was disabled back then. You were relegated to sit by the roadside at the city gate. You were relegated to sometimes sit at the entrance to the temple. Seen another text. You were relegated to mere begging, crying out for whatever mercy, whatever somebody had extra over and above. These men were powerless. But in their powerlessness, they know that there is hope. They know that there's hope. Because this man, Jesus, passed by. This man who can make the lame to walk. This man who can raise the dead to life. This man who can feed thousands. With just a few fish and a few small loaves of bread. Reformed theology teaches that salvation comes not through your strength, but by God's gift of mercy. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what offices you've held in the church, what you've done for the church, how much you've given to the church. It ain't about your strength. Salvation comes strictly as God's gift, by God's mercy. These men, they cry out, Son of David. These men know the prophecies. These men know the promises in the Old Testament. They are making a confession of faith when they cry out, Son of David. Their confession is that they recognize that Jesus is messianic. He's not a mere healer. Yes, he healed. But does the New Testament tell us that everyone who was sick at the time of Jesus' life was healed? No. He was not just a healer. The healings, the miracles, the resurrections that were experienced, that were witnessed, they were signs, as the Apostle John would put them in his gospel. Signs pointing and verifying to Jesus' messianic identity. Jesus is the promised King of covenant history. All the way back in Genesis, your seed will crush his head. He will bruise his heel. Abraham, stars, sand. Your people will be more numerous than this. Indeed, to Abraham, what did God say? That all nations of the earth would be blessed through you. All the nations of the earth would be blessed because they had the faith of Abraham. Through the faith of Abraham, David, you never cease to sit on the throne. This is covenant history. Jesus is the promised King. And when Jesus is passing by, you cry out for me. What's your need this morning? What is your need this morning? What are you dealing with in your heart? What are you dealing with in your life? What do you need Jesus, Son of David, to address today? They know their need is the God who passes by. The solution is faith and mercy. Look again at verse 31. The crowd rebuked them that they should be silent. But they cried out even more, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." The crowd's comfortable, aren't they? The crowd is comfortable just going along and watching and observing and listening to Jesus. They don't want to be troubled by these two blind men. These two blind men, they're just getting in the way. These two blind men, they are a distraction to Jesus. The crowd's comfortable. They like hearing what Jesus has to say. After all, Jesus teaches as one with authority and not like the scribes and the Pharisees. After all, Jesus feeds us. We like having our bellies full. But regardless of how comfortable the crowd is, these two men, they cry out all the more. And their cry is theological. Mercy is not bargaining for wages. These men did not deserve to have their sight given to them. They had not worked. They had not exchanged any labor for sight. Mercy acknowledges justice and knows that compassion is undeserved. What do you see in this text that would merit Jesus giving any attention, any notice to these men? There's nothing. These are two beggars. Two men relegated, sitting by the road. They don't deserve compassion. But they cry out, "Son of David," and that expression, "Son of David," grounds their request in God's promises. David. God's promised something. See, when Jesus granted them their sight, it wasn't just sight that he's giving. fact that Jesus can open eyes means that he can open the eyes of the heart as well. Jesus can open the eyes of the heart so that you and me see the depth and depravity of our own sin. Reformed theology teaches that the cry for mercy knows that faith receives what it cannot earn. You and me without Christ, we are no more than those blind beggars stumbling around, hoping not to trip over something, hoping that somebody would have a little bit of compassion on us to give us something for today. Mercy, not merit. Because there's nothing merited to them. Just like there's nothing merited to you and me. Prayer is the work of the soul pleading to and for God. Too oftentimes Christians, well-meaning Christians, view prayer as some sort of way that we can get God to do something that God's not already going to do. But prayer is more you and me coming into an agreement, coming into alignment with God's will. Prayer is you and me recognizing who God is, recognizing what His will is, and aligning our desires, our wishes, our hopes, our dreams with His will. What are you pleading for today? Who are you pleading for today? What change do you want to see today? Are you pleading to and for God? Well, if they know the God who passes by and they come in faith and mercy, what's the outcome? These men are unstoppable. Verses 32 and 33, Jesus stood still and called them. And he asked, what do you want? What do you want me to do for you? They said, Lord, let our eyes be opened. Regardless of how much the crowds tried to shut these two men up, regardless of who might have tried to block their way to Jesus, these men were unstoppable. What prayer request do you have that makes you unstoppable in getting to Jesus today? Whose salvation are you praying for today? Whose healing are you praying for today? Whose strength are you praying for today? Whose faithfulness are you praying for today? Whose wandering are you praying for today? Jesus, the King of Heaven, stops these two blind men. I love it. The crowds are trying to stop them. And Jesus, the King of Heaven, is the only one who can stop. The crowds, they want to silence them. Jesus gives them a voice. Jesus interrupts the momentum of the world for their need. Remember, Jericho is behind, the crowd is moving on, and two men are in need. There's a momentum here. The momentum of the crowd is moving on. And Jesus interrupts that momentum for these two men. Who knows how many were in the crowds? Whether it was 50 or 100 or 200 or 1,000 or 5,000, who knows how many was in the crowd? But Jesus is less concerned with the crowd than he is with these two men. Jesus is less concerned with the crowds, and he's more concerned with you. Jesus reveals both divine authority and compassionate purpose. These men know who Jesus is. He is Son of David. He is the one who can have mercy. He is the one who shows mercy. He is the one who shows compassion and purpose. And when Jesus asks, he's not asking to gain any kind of information. Jesus already knows what they need. Jesus has observed these men laying by the side of the road. Jesus knows why men would lie by the side of the road. They're beggars. They're disabled. They're handicapped. And because he already knows, he exposes what's in their hearts. And he trains his hearers. He exposes the hearts of these two men, and he trains the crowds. The crowds have come to hear. These two men have come to see. He exposes their hearts so they can see. And he trains the crowd's ears so they can hear. You want to preach too? Mm-hmm. Well, all the men are to leave. We're just making a women's gathering. She's okay. Leave her alone. They're not healed because they asked specifically for sight. They are healed by Jesus, Son of David, who knows their need. Reformed theology teaches that Christ's compassion is purposeful mercy. God's eternal mercy becomes visible in time. God's mercy is always present. We see God's mercy throughout the Old Testament scriptures. David, Hosea, you don't delight in sacrifice, else I would give it. The sacrifices of God are a pure and contrite heart. Those men, they cried out for mercy. They knew of the mercies of God even before the Messiah stepped into time and space. The one who saves is the one who commands, and the one who commands invites. The one who saves is the one who commands. This is why the law and the gospel are inseparable. The Ten Commandments were never intended to save. The Ten Commandments were strictly a mirror in which you look to see how much you fail. Jesus, who is God, was not only there at creation, but Jesus, who is God, was there at Sinai. He is the one who gave the commands. He is the one who told Moses, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me." The one who saves is the one who commands. The one who commands invites. Of all the folks in the crowds, Jesus invites these two men, and today Jesus invites you. Well, if the need is to know the God who passes by, the solution is faith and mercy. If the outcome is unstoppable, what's the action? The action is the new creation. Verse 34. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Did you catch the entirety of that verse? Jesus had compassion. He touched. He Immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed. There are folks who try to build a case over and over that you can have Jesus as Savior without having Jesus as Lord. You know what I find? The majority of the time in the New Testament, you will not see Lord without Savior, or Savior without Lord. If you do not have Jesus as Lord, then you do not have Jesus as Savior. You either have all of Jesus or you have none of Him. And if you're a new creation, if you're part of a new creation, that's not a new creation to just sit. The new creation is active and living. These men, who were of all men to be pitied, in their blindness was not merely physical but spiritual. Jesus' miracles revealed the kingdom. God is not distant. They didn't have to travel through deserts and plains and wildernesses and overseas to get to Jesus. Jesus brought them through the crowds to Himself. God is not distant. He acts. Jesus' touch is effectual power. When Jesus touches you, there's a change. When Jesus saves you, there's a change. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things become new. Jesus' touch, the Creator's word, and the kingdom's reality meet. The Creator's word and the kingdom's reality meet. These men were creations. These men were created by God. These men were created in the image of God. And here, as Jesus brings them to the front of the crowd, the Creator's word meets kingdom's reality. They receive their sight. What about the day that you received your sight? The day you first believed. The day that the scales fell off and you saw Jesus for who He was. Who He is. This happened instantly. This happened fully. This happened clearly. What's their response? They follow. They didn't have to go back to First Baptist Church of Jericho and meet with the committee. They followed. Jesus touched them. Jesus healed them. Jesus gave them sight instantly, fully, clearly, and they followed. Miracles never leave people unchanged. You can show me one miracle in Scripture, Old or New Testament, that left anybody unchanged, then I'll renege on that statement. But the daughter of Jairus, who was dead, she was brought to life. That's a change. The woman with the issue of blood, bleeding stopped. That's a change. Lazarus was dead for 4 days. He comes still bound, hopping out of the tomb. Changed. Blind Bartimaeus. He sees men like trees moving about. He's changed. The thief on the cross, rebuking his fellow thief. We deserve what we've got here. This man deserves none of this. Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. That man was changed this day. will be with me in paradise. Sight without discipleship is not what Christ gives. As I've said before, Jesus never performed a miracle for the sake of a miracle only. Every miracle that Jesus did, every miracle that's recorded in Scripture, pointed to His purpose, pointed to His identity. Reformed theology teaches Christ's saving work is effectual. If you're saved, you know it. If you're saved, there's a change in your heart and in your life, and in your actions and in your speech. Jesus accomplishes what He intends. Jesus gives what He promises. The fruit of grace is perseverance and new allegiance. When you were dead in sins and trespasses, you know what? Your allegiance was to sin. Your allegiance was to death. But now that you're a new creation, your allegiance is not to sin and death anymore. Your allegiance is to Christ. Transformation is God's work. Transformation is not informative. God's work is not informative, it's transformative. An atheist could read this book, but if he does not submit to the Lordship of Jesus, all he's done is read the book and made an awareness right here as to what the book says. Until God reaches into that atheist's heart and changes his heart, nothing's happened. Transformation cries out honestly for mercy. Transformation stops relying on the crowd's comfort. Transformation walks after Christ. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we bow before You and thank You for Your work in our lives. To transform us, to change us, to shape us, to make us new day by day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.